What is good, defenders? Welcome to the LAFC podcast, heard in 100 countries worldwide, and they're going to hear about another stinker tonight. This is Defenders of the Bank, episode 258. That's right, you know my voice. What's left of it? It's the scarf. J.R. Liebert, after I kind of got chided a little bit by Steve Cherundolo today, but more on that later on. Sitting directly to my left on the interwebs, but far across from me in Southern California at world famous Philomonster Studios. It's, is this Darth Filius? What's going on over there, bud?
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I do have the Darth Vader mask behind me. As you all know, I pulled it out the last time around and I was trying to choke Scarf using the Jedi mind trick, wearing the Force when he mentioned using the Force when he was talking about Tom Brady. At some point, I'd love some of that, those Tom Brady vibes. It's actually really cold in here, Scarf. Panda's got the air conditioner on and I'm freezing. So hence the hoodie. It looks like I'm an angry Sith, but I am a frustrated Philly. That's for sure. And defenders, we're going through the skids again. It has memories of that 2021 season. Shout out Chris Lafferty. Things kind of suck right now. Our team's playing like crap. Our team's tired, beaten up and bruised. And it's already silly season. People are talking Dolo out now. Like we're getting blamed, like podcasts are getting blamed for the team's performance. Others are like, oh, I can't wait to see how these guys defend Dolo. And then you got these other idiots on Twitter that are like, oh, I'm enjoying because I've been praying for y'all's downfall. Like there's just these types of bad stretches. You'll see it if you look on some POS guy who was getting on us about Leon. I'm not even going to give that person
What podcast is being blamed?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you remember back, like, I think it was 2021. I forget the name of the guy's handle, but he was like, see, like, it's all the podcast's fault because they keep bringing up this rhetoric. I mean, this is the silly season where people get emotional and that's fine. You're allowed to, where people have their opinions. Sure, you're allowed to, but man, sometimes you just see a lot of interesting things when your team goes out on a bad stretch. And that's what we're here to talk about because it's been a pretty it's been a crappy stretch. It's not painted anything other than that.
Look, it hasn't been good, right? We haven't scored a goal. We haven't scored a goal since May 31st, right? We haven't scored a goal in an MLS game since May 20th. And it's rough right now. But look, my buddy Vic, you were the one saying, hey, it'll be fun seeing how these guys defend Steve Cherundolo. Let me tell you how we defend Steve Cherundolo, my friend. What we do is we walk over to our trophy case. We shine up the supporter shield that he helped us to earn last season. We head on over to the MLS Cup that we have in the trophy case. We shine that bad boy up to a little one of those like little spit shines on it right there, right? So you can see your reflection in it if you're Steve Cherundolo. And then we remember, the second CONCACAF Champions League final that we reached was under Steve Cherundolo, navigating the impossible task of replacing players like Chicho Arango, players like Gareth Bale and Christian Teo, and navigating through injuries, Eddie Segura, Maxime Crepeau. And we look at our place in the standings, even after playing the crappiest stretch that we've played in quite a long time. We are one win away with one game in hand of being in first place in the West. And looking at our current injury situation, looking at our current scheduling situation, looking at our current international duty situation, looking at all of those things, my friend Vic, I don't need to defend Steve Cherundolo. Steve Cherundolo is doing just fine for himself. That's my thought. Really, we got to pay some bills too, by the way, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, let me just piggyback off you just real quick. It's fun to banter and it's fun to have comments and conversations. That's what's the beauty of sports. It's what we do. It's sports talk. We're talking sports. Yeah. And sure, people can feel entitled to feel the way they feel. I will never fault anybody for doing that. But
sure,
if you say something like, oh, we need to fire the coach. Okay, fine. But let's hear something else. Let's hear an opinion, a suitable replacement. Let's spark a fun conversation. because this whole like, oh yeah, these guys are just going to defend Steve. Of course we are. And remember, I was the one that wasn't thrilled about Steve being the head coach to begin with. I was cautious, if you remember going back to last season. But obviously, you know, people are very forgetful. The short-term memory is a thing. But I'll say this. Fine. Have your Dolo out comments. I'm good with it. But let's have a conversation as to who do you think would be a suitable replacement and a reasonable one. If you come out there and go, oh, we need to sign Pep Guardiola, I'm not going to take that into consideration. I'm going to call you an idiot publicly, whether to your face or on social media. You give us a good topic of conversation. This is fun. This is constructive. We can learn something from each other. But just to say coach needs to go and then that'll change everything. No, that is naive and ignorant. Let's have conversations about this. Intelligent conversations. That's where it gets fun for all of us. You included, yeah. Vic.
Yeah, and I'll say this. There should be no conversations about it either way.
No, right it's now. Idiotic, but I'll entertain a fun conversation as to who could be. To me, it's suitable and reasonable. Those are the two parameters. I love hearing like, oh, you know, the end to all our drama is bringing in Antoine Griezmann. That's not a reasonable suggestion. We need Pep Guardiola. That's not a reasonable suggestion. Other ones.
How about Roberto Firmino?
Things have to be shifted around, obviously. You know that there's that U22 initiative we have to go through. What we need and what we could all agree on is we need reinforcements. We're hurt, we're tired, we're battered, we're bruised. But this team does not have any firepower without Denny Bouanga. And today was a perfect example of that. But I digress. We have bills to pay.
Yeah, look, the other thing that we can all agree upon is that it is wonderful to be part of the Flex family, flexpowertools.com. Look, everybody, I don't know why I have to keep saying this, but Father's Day is coming up. How about this? Father's Day is coming up. Does dad need a new drill? Does he need some new work lights? Does he need a cool work radio?
Does he need
the flex stack pack? What does your father need? If they need it, go on to flexpowertools.com. You get a full lifetime warranty for every single thing you buy at flexpowertools.com. Literally everything that comes inside the box. So flexpowertools.com, full lifetime warranty. Oy, Philly, not sure how I'm going to go with this yet, but please don't forget lafc.com/Mo-Fascio. Let's get the futsal court built in Mo's honor. Come on, we've got a beautiful place in Southeast LA. It is ready. We just need to get to building. We need to get those flex power tools out. But before we do that, we have to fund it. Philly, what are we going to do? What number am I going to go with? You know what? You know what I'm going to go with? Why not today? How about 19? I'm going to go with $19. I'm going to go with $19 because my favorite Bayern Munich player wears number 19, Alphonso Davies. Today we were celebrating Bayern out in the Pepsi Plaza. Philly, the name of the mascot again, if you don't mind.
Bernie.
Thank you. Bernie the Bear. Took a picture
Think
with Bernie
Sanders,
the Bear.
Not Madoff. It's certainly not Madoff. Okay.
Took a picture with either.
That's just weird. Think Bernie. Think Bernstein Bears. I don't know. Never mind. Just think Bernie the Bear.
Isn't it Bernstein Bears?
But that's I screwed up. Just think Bernie the Bear.
How about Weekend at Bernie's? Weekend at Bernie's. That's a good one.
Well, that would mean the mascot's dead.
Well, I mean, it's
and he's very much alive.
He is very much alive. They are very much alive. I don't even know anymore. And we got to see the Meisterschale. Did I say that right? The
Meisterschale. Du hast das richtig gesagt, mein Freund.
Right? And that's what I tell him every day when he wakes up, guys. So for me, it was fun. One of the most prestigious trophies in soccer was in the building. It's pretty cool. Got to take a picture with that. And oh, by the way, MLS Cup was sitting right next to it. It's always fun to take pictures of that, guys. We really hope you make it out to some of these events. I know a lot of people were asking us about the Bayern LAFC split scarf. Scarf got a new scarf. So did Philly. I thought for sure I'd see it behind you somewhere right now, but I don't see
it. It's in the other room. It's one in the morning, bro. It wasn't thinking.
I'm right there with you. 12:37 Thursday, June 15th. Shall we get into all the particulars, Philly, so we can run through this game? Because it was rough. Are we ready?
It was rough. I just want to piggyback off one thing. Like, it was really cool to have the Meisterschale there. A lot of you got to take a photo with it, and it really is a pretty cool trophy. Been in existence since 1949. As I mentioned during the last pod, it replaced the Victoria Trophy, which got lost during World War II. Every German champion since 1949 has hoisted it, but it only was around 1964 when FC Köln actually got to keep a replica of it. And to my knowledge, that was the replica, as the real one is probably at Sabinerstrasse in Munich. But very cool trophy. And for me personally, I want to just reiterate the fact that, you know, my father's side of the family, they immigrated from Romania to Munich. So I have family that's down there, and they are huge Bayern fans. In particular, my cousin, Adrian Scheckz, God rest his soul. He passed away Christmas Day on the drive to my aunt's house. He was sober. I don't know what happened. His BMW like had some kind of thing, and on the Autobahn, car wreck, him and his girlfriend, passenger, dead on impact. So for me, it was very emotional because my cousin was there with me in a way. I brought the scarf that he gave me the last time I saw him when he visited New York a year prior to his passing. And I just wanted to, you know, shout out, obviously, Bayern. And I wanted to Michelle over at LAFC. I want to shout out Rich O'Reilly over at Bayern Munich. Just the kindness that everybody's shown has been really tremendous. And, you know, nothing but love to my cousin. God rest his soul. My only first cousin, Adrian, nothing but love. It was great having you. Even though LAFC lost and you saw a crap game, it was nice, you know, feeling, you know, that connection with you in the stands.
There you go. All right. So normally we do a little bit of this day in LAFC history. We're going to go ahead and bypass that today. News and notes. The biggest news and note, I believe, Philly, would be something we'll probably cover in the lineups, but that's the international duty call-ups by several LAFC players. I'm going to throw out a little bit of a different news and note. There's been a lot of speculation. Don't really know why or what's going on there, but a lot of speculation with why Chiqui Palacios was able to play at BMO Stadium tonight and not with the national team. There's been talk of a lost passport, a stolen bag or something. Look, there's a lot of speculation out there on the interwebs. All we know is that we didn't think we would have Chiqui Palacios due to international duty.
Oh, I did.
Chiqui Palacios today. What? Say again? You did.
Oh, I believed we'd have Chiqui Palacios. I said he was my player to watch yesterday.
I mean, look, I said Jose Cifuentes was my player to watch too. So, it's just interesting that, that Cheeky couldn't make it over there. Obviously, Denis Bawanga and Jose Cifuentes, both on international duty right now. So congrats to our boys for having the international duty call up. Those are always great. It's a great way for LAFC to get out there into the rest of the world. Unfortunately, Freya Kum will not be getting out there into the rest of the world as Angel City's coach, according to The Athletic, Meg Linehan. Of The Athletic, while LAFC was, I think, warming up. Maybe it was right before kickoff. Maybe it was right after kickoff. According to The Athletic, Freya Kum has been let go by Angel City Football Club. We are definitely interested to see how this story plays out. And for more info on this and anything else Angel City, please head on over to the Angels City Chicks podcast at Angel City Chicks. They play down in San Diego against San Diego Wave, Snapdragon, June 17th. So if you want to head down there, we'll see who the new coach is. That'll be interesting. And Philly, LAFC 2 played their most complete match of the season last weekend at Titan Stadium, but still fell 1-0 to the first place and still undefeated Rapids Deuce. Their next match is at home Sunday, June 18th. Sunday, 5 p.m. against Benny and the Kids, Benny Failhaber, and Sporting Kansas City 2. So that's you know what? Screw it. That's it for news and notes. Let's roll.
All right. Yeah, let's roll. Sucks that we have to talk about Houston again. Sucks that we have to talk about another crappy loss to Houston. On the bright note, it's the last time we have to talk about Houston. So this might end up being a shorter pod because not a whole lot happened in this game from a scoring perspective. This was a dreadful game, not as dreadful as LAFC's performance down in Houston, but not certainly don't have as much to unpack. And I just want to, I certainly want to get this recording done, posted out there. I want to forget about this day. as quickly as possible and move on to other things, because it just sucks, man. That absolutely sucks. Anyway, let's get into the lineups. Why don't you start with the visiting Houston Dynamo?
Well, yeah, real quick, before we get into the lineups, two things that I just want to mention. Franco Escobar getting his ring before the match. We were there
nobody
early
booed.
Enough.
I was quite surprised.
Nobody booed, but when they said, and let's give a big round of applause or a big warm welcome to Franco.
Oh, yeah.
Like four people.
Hold on. I got the response.
Yeah.
Shout out to our old sponsor, by the way.
Right. I think it's Eric Smith is our announcer. He goes, Franco. And just everybody, just nothing. Like four people. Escobar. It was great. And of course, I was super excited. If you guys don't know this about me, I coach volleyball. I love coaching volleyball. I coach middle school volleyball right now. My middle school 7th grade boys that I coach, we went undefeated. We won the championship in the league this year. It was the best season that I've coached in quite some time. My players were incredible. The families were super supportive. The honorary Falconer today, you guys, was a massive deal in the beach volleyball world for a long time. Dane Blanton, current USC women's beach volleyball head coach, the back-to-back-to-back, three-time NCAA national champion in beach volleyball. He was the honorary Falconer today. Just so cool, man. A guy that just the AVP beach volleyball, Dane Blanton was such a big part of that. I went to a high school, Loyola, here in Los Angeles, who has an incredible volleyball program, and a lot of great beach volleyball players have come from my high school and as well as a lot of schools in Southern California. For all of you listening to the soccer podcast wondering, I'll explain volleyball on another podcast. Don't worry. It's a lot of fun. Trust me. It's played on sand like beach soccer is, except it's played with your hands, not with your feet. So it's a lot of fun. There's a net involved too. It's really cool. But Dane Blanton as the honorary Falconer was pretty awesome. That being said, not many changes, Philly, in the lineup for the Houston Dynamo, but it starts at the top. It's no longer Brendan Burke, who, by the way, made the MLS Team of the Week. Brendan Burke, the match day manager, because he won a raffle at your local Carvel, match day manager Brendan, replaced by their regular gaffer, Ben Olsen. And Ben Olsen, very solid coach, done some good things with the Houston Dynamo, and out for this match on international duty with Panama. That would be Adalberto Carrasquilla, who obviously started against us just a couple of days ago. So they roll out their formation with goalkeeper Steve Clark. He's still there. A little bit of a change on the back line with Daniel Steris starting.
Galaxy, on the back line gross. Line,
right, along with Mikhail. More about Mikhail a little bit later. Eric Sviatchenko and defender Griffin Dorsey, which is a change from Franco Escobar, who was also named to the Team of the Week, along with Ache himself, Hector Herrera Artur, and Luis Caicedo starting in the middle for Adalberto Carrasquilla. That would be Nelson Quiñones, Amine Bassi, and Alihu Ibrahim rounding out the 11. It doesn't matter who was in the 18, but sure, Corey Baird was there. He used to play for us. Philly, the lineup for LAFC.
I do want to give a nod to Griffin Dorsey. I went to Indiana University. I will always proudly acknowledge a fellow Hoosier. So Griffin Dorsey got drafted out of Indiana, I believe, by Toronto. Now on the Houston Dynamo, and I certainly was shouting obscenities at him at some point earlier today, but still had to acknowledge my Hoosier pride. This is a lineup that Steve put in that he emphasized that we're here to win games, and I didn't think that we would be doing anything other than winning games with this lineup. Unfortunately, what I expected turned out to be the exact opposite. In between the pipes, as today, as per usual, I think his 13th start, if I'm not mistaken, John McCarthy. Back line, Daniil Maldonado, Jesus David Murillo, Giorgio Chiellini. And my favorite part about Chiellini getting announced in the starting lineup is looking down in front of me at J.R. Liebert, the scarf, and just seeing how excited he is anytime he gets to see Giorgio. And I'm very proud and happy that he's finally starting to wear that birthday gift I got him for his 40th, the Giorgio Chiellini jersey with the star. So thank you for wearing the gift I bought you, scarf. Much appreciated. on the other side of the back line, Ryan Hollingshead. In the middle, Surprise, surprise. Cheeky Palacios. That's an interesting change of events. Ilya Sanchez, and congratulations to Eric Duenas. Up top, Matsi Bogush, Carlos Vela, and Stipe Buick in the 18. And I just hit down. Bear with me 1 second. I love how this thing works faster than I do. Eldon, our backup keeper. Christian Torres, we actually got to see and say hello to after the press conference. Kwadwo Opoku, yeah, who we will not be seeing next game, sadly. Daniel Crisostomo of the Pelvis himself. And check out his podcast and interview with Max and Vince. Julian Gaines. Nathan Ordaz, who is a yellow card accumulating machine for the other team. I love it. And back into the lineup, welcome Aaron Long. He was questionable, along with Timothy Tillman, coming into today's game. He came in, him and his headband. That is your lineup for LAFC.
I saw Aaron Long in the 18 today, and I was like, wait a minute. He's still getting his head sewn back together by whatever machine that is that puts Aaron Long's head back. That was unreal. If you guys haven't seen that picture, go over to his like Instagram. I think it's on Instagram. And oh my God, Philly, the amount of stitches that are on this guy's head, and yet he's playing. I'm just hoping there are no stitches still in there. I don't even know at this point. I like it, man.
I mean, you love to see that kind of tenacity. I mean, it's obviously not the same sport, but Scarf, at the conclusion of yesterday's Stanley Cup final, they were interviewing, and congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights, but the head coach of the Panthers was talking about how some of these players were playing with broken ankles as a result of the series against the Bruins. He had players.
Matthew Tkachuk broke his sternum, and he
fractured his sternum, and like he still was going in there and doing what he had to do. Hockey players are just built differently. It's lacerated spleen. Put me in, coach. And I just wanted to give it not. But like Aaron Long coming in with like a stitch like that, I appreciate players that play tough and stand out, not like little whiny POSs like Nelson Quiñones lying dead in the box, refusing help from even our keeper, John McCarthy. Like, that's the kind of ish that pisses me off. And I'm a fan of this sport and have been for ages, longer than some of y'all who listen on this pod have been alive. And yet I still cannot stand the lack of intestinal fortitude that some of these footballers display. But Aaron Long is not one of those. Anyway, let's move on.
No, he certainly isn't. It's one of the reasons why I love MLS Next Pro. By the way, if you haven't seen MLS Next Pro, if you're down for longer than 30 seconds, you have to come out of the match for, I think it's a full minute. So it kind of gets rid of all that tomfoolery, all the time wasting, all the shenanigans, all the ballyhoo that goes on in a lot of professional soccer. That being said, this is a rough first half. You guys, it was a rough game. We've talked about it, but I do want to make an observation. Look, 10th minute, we turned over the ball in the box. We defended it well. And honestly, there wasn't a whole ton going on through the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the match. But I did write a note in the 14th minute, and I'll read exactly what I wrote in the 14th minute. The more I see of Eric Duenas, the more sure I am that he is going to be an all-star in this league if he sticks around Major League Soccer. I know he's a little small, but he's already created several turnovers and bailed out our defensive line once. And that was 14 minutes into the match. I think Eric Duenas is still a little ways away from being able to go a full 90 at the effectiveness that he goes the first 20, 30, 40, 45. But Eric Duenas is going to go down as the best feel-good story of this club when he finishes his time with LAFC. And his time with LAFC may only be another year or two. Maybe Bayern's looking, and they want to try and develop this type of midfielder. I mean, you got to see it with this kid. And the best part is we hear it from every corner of the stadium. Everybody is watching this kid, Eric Duenas, Philly. And he just makes you so proud to know his story and to have him on the club.
Yeah, he came up with this academy. I mean, a good portion of his life he spent under LAFC's tutelage. And just to see him get the minutes that he's getting is big. And we all forget he was out for a good portion of last season and the year before with an ankle injury. It seemed like the longest ever ankle injury. I would say the only thing that was more shocking was Julian Gaines' pelvic injury. But Eric Duenas, yes, a phenomenal feel-good story. You're absolutely right. I still think Mahala is probably one of the best because that was just truly an accident within how that turned out to be. But Eric Duenas, yeah, I get it. He's small. He gets pushed off the ball. He gets beaten up, tossed around like a, I don't understand this phrase, sack of potatoes. I've never tossed a sack of potatoes in my life. Maybe a bag of like Funyuns. I don't know what tossing a sack of potatoes is, but I believe it's pretty light. So people complain that he's tiny and that's what happens to him. But kid's 18 playing against grown men and starting in Major League Soccer. That is way better than any of us chuckleheads could ever say. I love Eric Duenas. I love Christian Torres, Tony Leone. Certainly getting a lot of respect for Nathan Ordaz, my friend. Like he plays with intestinal fortitude. I like it. I would say, hot take, I'd say he plays with more intestinal fortitude than Stipe Buick does. But we could talk about that.
Ooh, later. Interesting. All right. Well, look, Matty Bogus, playing with, as you like to say, a bunch of intestinal fortitude. 21st minute, he was offside. But it gave us some hope. It gave us a little glimmer, ball over the top. It was a creative play, something we haven't had in a while. And nice shot there to chip the keeper, put it up over the top. You know, we got excited for a minute as soon as it happened. I mean, luckily it happened. The pass happened like right in line with where I was. I saw that he was pretty offside.
Yeah, no unfortunately question. At
that point. So that was about it. But you know, Philly, we're thinking we're out in front. We're feeling good. Things are all right. And what could go wrong 1 minute later? Nothing.
A lot could go wrong. Now, I'm never one to criticize the officiating, but I will criticize the officiating. Guido Gonzalez Jr., the USL
Wait a minute. Did you just say you're never one to criticize the officiating?
Well, I refer to them as like pro is pretty rancid officiating, but I don't like leaving it in the hands of the officials. I always say this, but I certainly want to put Guido Gonzalez Jr. on blast, the 2019 USL Referee of the Year. He was very frustrating with his calls. There are plenty of moments where there were Houston Dynamo players are getting pretty handsy with some of our boys, in particular Eric Duenas. And you can't begin to tell me that a guy twice the size of Eric Duenas is going to bounce off of him and then Eric's going to get called for the foul. Anyway, what was frustrating up to this point is we ended up getting Stipe basically got hit with a yellow card. And there was plenty of opportunities where LAFC should have been awarded. Houston should have been given a yellow card. But that puts us in a pretty rancid situation. You have a set piece, all right? And you have Hector Herrera there at the helm of it. And he crosses in a beautiful ball, man. An absolutely beautiful ball that has an even more incredible save that comes by way of John McCarthy. But unfortunately, Mikael was there by himself, wide the frick open, and absolutely smashes the stitches out of it past John McCarthy, and he gets his first goal of his MLS career. Now, if you look at the replay, it shows a falling Carlos Vela. Fine. John McCarthy gets an unbelievable save. But where in the hell is the rest of the defense? There's literally nobody around Mikel. He could have just had it. He could have paused. He could have waited one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Oh, cool. I'm going to shoot it right now and still not been contested. And just like that, 1-0 off of a set piece and from a play that I say was a questionable yellow card.
Yeah, look, the questionable part was the yellow card, unfortunately. It still led to the set piece. It was one of my keys to the match is to have, for LAFC, to have one dangerous set piece per half. By dangerous, I didn't mean dangerous in defending them. I really wanted some dangerous offensive set pieces, but you're absolutely right. Wide open on the back post was Mikael, and I mean, they took a minute to check it, right? They were checking on a push, but just terrible set piece defense once again. And if we're not going to score off of our own set pieces, guys, we might as well hell is defend the ones that we're going to see in our own box. Look, I liked LAFC's response a little bit there. Right after the goal, you had Stipe's run into the box that found Cheeky Palacios, which earned us a corner. But unfortunately,
no, I don't see happened. How that was a corner, by the way. At that point, I'm like, yeah, these officials kind of suck. I didn't see that as a corner at all. I was shocked that was a corner, and that was for us.
Yeah, I mean, well, it looked like Cheeky deflected his shot off of the Houston Dynamo defender right in front of him. But yeah. Look, right, 27th
fine.
Minute.
You had that fine. Cool. I didn't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, look, we got Stipe with a yellow in the 21st minute, and now we have Ilie with a yellow in the 27th minute. At least Ilie.
Red card on Gonzalez Jr.
Oh yeah. No, look, with this foul, Philly, if you watched it, after Ilie picked up the foul, he went right over to the ref and said something, and it looked like he was agreeing with the call. He wasn't arguing that there should have been no card on that one. It looked like he was very sure of the, okay, yep, got a yellow, good job. You got this one right is probably what he said because you missed the last one. The set piece turns into a corner, and off of that corner, nothing happens, which is great because I was holding my breath after the last one. And Eric Duaneus, man, getting taken out in the 30th minute yet again, absolutely no call. It's like the opposite of the Shaq rules, right? Like back in the day when Shaq came into the NBA, the referees had to adjust. They had to figure out things a little bit differently. Well, this is a kid that's 117 pounds holding 17 pounds worth of phone books. I mean, the kid is tiny, and I love him. Look,
these days don't know what a phone book is, Scarf.
They don't know what an encyclopedia is either. Then holding, I don't know, 100 iPhones. Either way, it's Eric
carrying several PlayStations.
There you go. Plays with a lot of heart. This kid plays with an incredible amount of skill. His anticipation is awesome. And unfortunately, he gets taken out three different times in this first half with no call whatsoever. And Philly, your boy from Indiana, 38th minute, absolutely cooks the meal.
Cooks it, torches him, cooks him, puts him in the shelf and in his back pocket. But fortunately, Cheeky was there to make a good play, breaking up that cross in by Griffin Dorsey. But there are times where I appreciate Daniil Maldonado, and I think back to the way like Sebastian Ibiaga was. Sebastian Ibiaga wasn't an all-star caliber defender, but he certainly was solid and came up with a lot of key plays. And I would say the same about Daniil Maldonado, but man, like there are times where he gets a little too aggressive with his maneuvers and he gets torched badly. And in this case, he got torched by a Midwestern kid who went to college in Bloomington, Indiana. But Cheeky was there, man. Sometimes he could be frustrating when he plays, but sometimes Cheeky can make some unbelievable defensive plays, and he was there intercepting Griffin Dorsey's cross into the box.
Yeah, look, Ace is one of those players, Hector Herrera, who I feel like whenever he plays against us, especially, he kind of turns back the hands of time a little bit. He's definitely more motivated, probably seeing Carlos Vela on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I was nervous, man. 41st minute. About 10 yards outside the box, Hector Herrera standing over the free kick, and he went for goal, missed it wide right, but it was still, look, it's one of those moments that everybody in the stadium looks forward to, right? It's like Carlos Vela getting the ball on a free kick, or obviously Denny Bawanga, or, you know, Hector Herrera. Clearly, these are legendary players that we're seeing in Major League Soccer. Hector Herrera is an El Tri legend, over 100 caps for the Mexican national team. And I just get nervous. I see him standing over the ball. He obviously is the one that delivered the perfect free kick in for the goal, even though he won't get credit for an assist. He's still an incredibly dangerous player, mm-hmm. in Philly, and really fun to watch.
Very fun to watch. Much more fun this season, certainly, than he was last year. Last year, you figured he'd be, you'd have to put him out to the pasture. And well, you know how that old saying goes. This year, he's been quite fun. I would actually like to watch him compete when he doesn't play against LAFC. Just that's how much I enjoyed watching him take his set pieces. So, at one point, you have a corner where Carlos Vela takes. And I got to tell you, out of everybody who takes our corners, nobody is better than Carlos Vela. Mati Bogusz, no. Kellen Acosta, no. Anybody, Timothy Tillman, eh. Carlos Vela is the perfect person to take the corner. And he takes one. I trust him more than anybody. And there's a nice ball into the box. It just happens to deflect off of Chiellini. Then Ilie tries to make a play on it, but it goes out. And then we get slapped with 4 minutes a stoppage. And we did have some action in stoppage. We had a crazy wide open run for Quiñones, and Hollingshead tracks back and makes a great play stopping that attempt by Quiñones. And he was my player to watch. He's the guy who scored the banger against us down in Houston, and he's the one who attracted the foul on Hollingshead to get the second goal of the game. But after he's in the box and LAFC kind of goes out there and makes their run, at one point, Guido Gonzalez Jr. just blows his whistle and stops the run of play because Quiñones is just laying there motionless in the box. And you could see McCarthy going up to him, trying to help him up. He's like, come on, man, get up. Like, you could kind of see it. And at one point, he's like trying and trying, and he just kind of, with frustration, just kind of goes like, ah, freak it, whatever. And I imagine he must have said in that Philly twang of his. But, you know, that's the kind of crap I hate to see out of footballers. Call it tactical, call it whatever you want. I say it's a lack of courage. And all right, I'll flat out say it. No balls, man. I absolutely hate seeing that kind of ish. Lord knows what I would have said if I was closer to him and mildly inebriated, but get some action going on there. A couple other things happen if you want to, you know, clean this up, and then we could go into halftime stats.
Yeah, I mean, look, after a delay, Hector Herrera finds Amine Bassi, but he's ruled offside. That was some consternation. We thought we were giving up a goal right before the half, another one of those backbreakers at the end of stoppage time. But luckily, ruled offside. And hey, here we are in the seventh minute of what was supposed to be 4 minutes of stoppage time. Here we are. After 7 minutes of stoppage, that means 52 minutes of the first half of play. 7 minutes in, and finally, Mati Bogusz getting LAFC on the board in terms of just shots on target. That's it. Just shots on target. Mati found our only shot on target in the seventh minute of stoppage time in the first half. Philly, the stats.
Yeah, it was a great – it nearly trickled in too, man. If it wasn't for Sviatchenko clearing that ball, it might have been dangerous. Mati did get a nice look. Now, Major League Soccer, on their website's stats, they didn't indicate this as a shot on target. But as we all know, that absolutely was a shot on target, and it was the only shot on target, all flipping game. We had four shots within the first 45 plus 5 minutes in the first half. Houston had eight. Two of them on target. Unfortunately, one of those was a goal. So they're batting 50% for shots on target. Possession, the lion's share of us. You saw that, and they talked about it tactically. Houston plays in a low block. They were happy to throw everybody and their mother and members of the Houston Astros, I guess, down to prevent LAFC from scoring and then having no problem coming in on the counter. Passing accuracy, we were a bit better than they were at 81% to their 70. One chance created. We had four corners, but honestly, there was only one real threat, which came by way of Carlos Vélez. They had three, six fouls on us, seven on them, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Look, halftime substitution, Daniil Maldonado coming out for Mahala Opoku. I understand why we did it, right? We're trying to get more offensive. We're trying to get players into spaces that they normally play in.
Maldonado didn't play particularly good either.
He did not. But I guess I was a little surprised considering Stipe Buick and Ilya Sanchez both on yellows, but we take out Maldonado with our first sub, but that's okay. And I thought that LAFC through the first 5 minutes played some of their best 5 minutes stretch of the last few matches for sure. We had Ilya's. You're absolutely right. It is not saying much. We had Ilya who missed a header in the 46th minute. You had Mati who rifles one from distance in the 47th. And then you've got Cheeky who's able to fire one near ish the goal. And what I love about that is that's Ilya, Mati, and Cheeky. Those are offensive weapons that if we can establish them as such, then you have to at least open up some space because we're at least using some different players. I know, Philly, the biggest thing that worries you, because we've been talking about it a whole ton, is that without Denny Bawanga, this team just can't score.
It's not only that they can't score, Scarf, it's they can't even get shots on goal. You go back to that Atlanta game where we peppered the hell out of Brad Guzan. We had eight shots on target, but half of those came by way of Denny. He can't be the only person to make some kind of offense work. I get it. Houston did throw plenty of people back there in that low block, but more people need to score. Carlos Vela needs to be more effective. And he'll tell you straight up. He told us in the press conference. He knows. He certainly knows. Mahala needs to be, we won't be seeing Mahala for at least one more game, but you can't rely on one player. 10 goals over the course of the regular season, 7 in the Champions League, 17 overall. You can't win when you have somebody producing those numbers. For Denny, it's fantastic because it makes him very valuable, marketable, and enables him to command more money in transfer markets or, hell, even demanding a better contract. But you can't have goals, scores like that, and attempt to be a championship team. You need more players to contribute. 53rd minute. Actually, let's go 51st. Stipe gets the ball into the box. And to his credit, I would say that Stipe was rather attack-minded. He just making his plays. He just had nobody on their run. So he's kicking it in the box. Nobody's making their run. There was one play within the second half to me, Scarf, that would go unnoticed. But it kind of frustrating. And it kind of – and remember this because I want to talk about Nathan Ordaz in this. Stipe has the ball. And rather than looking at going into the box or finding somebody there, he's there. And then for reasons unbeknownst to me, he just kicks it way back past the midfield to Muri, or at least right around there. That you don't want to look for stuff like that, man. You want to be attack-oriented. And I feel that sometimes Stipe shies away from being aggressive, something that I think Nathan Ordaz doesn't do. But then 53rd minute, and I have to say this, you could continue going on from here. Bossy, the leading scorer for the Houston Dynamo, comes out in... comes in the Corey Baird tricks rabbit. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. I say that because of his stupid goal celebration last Saturday against us in Houston. We're calling Corey Baird the tricks rabbit. He comes into the game, and then that's what I have up to the 53rd minute.
Look.
It's really not much in the second half to talk about.
I was going to say, guys, the second half is bad. The second half, we look tired. We look gassed. I'm going to go through some things. We'll talk about it. You can talk about it amongst your friends. When I get to a part where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm really glad Scarf just mentioned that right now. I've been meaning to yell at my other friends about that. I like the Giorgio Chiellini-Mahala combination play that they were trying there at about the 60th minute, but he was offside. Oh, well. I like that Chiellini was one of the few players time in and time out in this match that was moving the ball, pushing the ball forward, whereas everybody else was kind of trying to play it backwards. It was really frustrating. You got a yellow to Steve Clark and a yellow to the bench. Just we're 70 minutes in. We're 70 minutes in. And other than really a Giorgio Chiellini and a Carlos Vela play in the 68th minute where Vela, you know, pushes it over the bar with the shot, we looked completely sterile on offense. That was rough.
Impotent.
We didn't
like
look
it.
Like, I mean, you know, it's just been. There's been this malaise over the offense recently. And look, I thought our two best players in this game today were Eric Duaneus and Giorgio Chiellini. I really did. I first of all, I'm biased on Giorgio Chiellini, so deal with it. And second of all, I'm not biased on Eric Duaneus, and I thought he was the best player in the match. So, of course, at the 70th minute, Danny Chrysostomo and Aaron Long come in for Eric Duaneus and Giorgio Chiellini. So, great. Cool. Awesome.
I like what you
love
did there.
It. See what I did there?
I like what you did there.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, look, Philly, you're right. Second half sucked, man. Second half was terrible. Look, 75th minute, Murray forgot what team he played for.
Horrible turnover.
And look, let's be real, folks. If it's not for Super John McCarthy on that one, I mean, that was a one-handed diving up to the top. Beautiful save. It should have been 2-0 at that point for Houston. Thank goodness it wasn't. You know, and I really liked Philly again, the momentum that we were building, the yellow card to Steve Clark, the yellow card to the Houston bench, the yellow card that Artur gets in the 77th minute,
the red card for the officiating quality.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really bad. Mati dragged down from behind by Artur about 10 yards from the top of the box. And of course we can't do a damn thing with the set piece. And I'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. But Philly, I'm thinking we are building towards a goal. We are trending in the right direction from the very kickoff until about the 79th minute. Philly, you got to be thinking we have played so well these last 30, 35 minutes. It's going to take something really catastrophic to take an opportunity to score a goal off the board.
Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. And like you presented to Ryan Hollingshead today during the press conference, Scarf, seemed like we were getting some momentum, but yes, a tragedy occurs. And it comes by way of a Mahala red card in the 79th minute, a leg up, studs up, tackle on Artur. And there was no question about that being the case. Unlike what the broadcaster said, there was no malicious intent on that. I would just say he slipped and he would just found himself in an awkward, horrible position to be. We'll call it Lemony Snicket's is a series of unfortunate events. Mahala wasn't going in there maliciously. He wasn't looking to take out Artur's kneecaps. But the Houston Dynamo thought otherwise, and there was a little bit of friction between both clubs for a moment, but then cooler heads prevailed. But needless to say, Mahala gets the red card, which gets him out of the game, puts us at a man disadvantage. And if we're talking about man disadvantages, we are oh so deep this season. Now we lose another potential goal scoring. I'm not going to call him a threat because he only has two goals, but another forward who has found the back of the net this season for us. And it just sucks, man. The wheels coming off the bus. We're fading as far as this game is concerned. And you're right. We look gassed, tired, and I'm sure we all in the stadium, we all felt deflated after that play.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you've got the last, a few minutes of the match. Nathan Ordaz comes in for Stipe Buyuk, 85th minute. Right before that, by the way, there was a handball that nobody thought was a handball. I haven't seen the slow-mo on video, but the players weren't really upset, weren't really calling for it. They were just kind of grasping at straws. So I'll give him the handball at that point. But with Nathan Ordaz coming in for Stipe Buyuk, it's really all over through stoppage time. But I do want to mention one quick thing. 89th minute, the 32-52 was as fully throated as they had been all night. I'm just so proud, so impressed with the 32-52 in the 89th minute of an absolute dog water game that they are having to sit through and cheer and make like everything is perfectly fine. The 32-52 were on their game in the 89th minute. Philly, he started passing out yellows like they passed out greenies in the Oakland A's locker room in the 1970s. So there
was the New York Mets in 86.
Oh man, those are all kinds of stuff. Sviatchenko in the first minute, Steris in like the second or third minute. Corey Baird picked one up as well. But you know what we couldn't do is get anything near goal, Philly. You mentioned it. That shot on goal was the only shot on target of the half. None of that would change.
No, and that's where things become rather inexcusable. You could say, all right, fine. You know, they played like crap on the road, but not at the bank. And yeah, it is the bank because we defend the bank. I don't defend the BMO. You don't defend the BMO. It just sounds really weird. It's just inexcusable and unacceptable for a team that is built to attack as much as they do for them to have one shot on target and that shot only coming by way of the first 45 minutes. That's unacceptable to me. Did they try to get some buildup? Did they try to do some things? Sure. Was Houston completely packing everybody in the box? Sure. But out of the 14 shots, you get one on target? That's no way to go about a game at home. Houston lost 7 games on the road this season. They didn't win a single stinking game on the road until they came into our house. And I said the other day, nobody comes into our house and pushes us around. They kind of did. They certainly pushed Eric Duenas around to lose in the manner that we did. Granted, the score wasn't 4-0, but we give Houston 6 points. They outscore us 5-0 over the course of the last two games. This is bad. It's a bad stretch. It's not let's all burn the ship to the ground and start over, but this is crap. Utter pure crap.
Yeah, I want to point out something. LAFC won the possession battle 71% possession.
So they were just trying to catch us on
counters. LAFC, I want to point out that LAFC completed 600 plus passes, something like almost 400 more than Houston. But my question is to where?
83% accuracy.
A lot of them went backwards.
Yeah,
we have become a team complacent to sit back as well. We have to get more aggressive. We've got to do more. Look, here's the one saving grace from the way that we've been playing. first of all, either St. Louis and Seattle aren't playing, so we're kind of catching them up, catching up to them in the games played category. When they are playing, by the way, they're not winning. So we came into this last week basically 3 points out of first place. We come into it this week, for next week, basically 3 points out of first place. You got St. Louis on 29, Seattle on 28. And then there's us still at 26 for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to temper my expectations on the supporter shield at this point, considering that one club is already on 40 points in 17 matches, and we're on 26 points through 15 matches. So I don't think that's going to happen. And now we get to go to Kansas City.
It's kind of unbelievable to go through a run of games and where we haven't scored goals. I mean, the last time we scored a goal was down in Leon.
Yeah.
Time we scored a goal during Major League Soccer regular season was that 2-1 game against San Jose at BMO. We were at a point where we were over 2 points per game along with FC Cincinnati, but we've dropped. We're now at like 1.73. And yet, while you say that we are only 3 points away with a game in hand to catch up St. Louis, Dallas is tied with us for points. San Jose is tied with us for points. Houston picked up 6 points relatively quickly, and all of that comes against us. They're at 24 points. So even though we're not too far from first, we're also not too far from the bottom of the barrel either. Sporting Kansas City right now is the last team that's within like the playoff like line, so to speak.
Sure.
They're at
sure.
20. If you want to call a saving grace, it's kind of fun to see Carson down in the cellar still. But we're not focusing on them. We don't see them till July 4th. We'll poke that bear a little later. But one thing I did notice, at one point, like everybody's getting ready to leave up in Founders, and I hear the 3252 yelling Carlos Vela. And I looked up for a second, and I wondered why that was. He did something that he doesn't do very often, or at all for that matter. Yeah. He actually went up to the north end. He doesn't do that. He's notorious for not standing out there, even in matches where he should have been player of the game. He runs back to the locker room. He went out there and acknowledged the North End, and that made people there start chanting his name. We need him. Regardless of how some of y'all feel, we need him. He's still a very important and crucial player, and if anything, he can still make his passes. He's not been a goal-scoring threat, even though he's our second-leading scorer, but he can be. He acknowledges it, and this rhetoric of, oh, he doesn't care, he's ready to move on? Sorry, folks. I don't buy it. Him going to the North End tells me otherwise, and witnessing him eye level in the press conference and hearing him talk the way he does, he knows he's not playing well. He knows the team is at a bad stretch, but he's not panicking. And that actually, believe it or not, gives me a little more confidence hearing it from him than anything else.
Yeah, I'll say when we were sitting there and listening to Steve Cherundolo talk about it, we were sitting and listening to Carlos Vela talk about it, we were sitting and listening to Ryan Hollingshead talk about it, there's still a supreme sense of confidence with this club. And I think a lot of it has to do with our proximity to the Western Conference title. A lot of it has to do with the way that we have played since we've come into the league 6 years ago, but especially since the beginning of this season. And look, plenty of reasons for optimism. Just very few of those are playing on the pitch right now, to be perfectly honest. So look, this can't be a match where we make too much of it. One, because it is just one of 34 on the season, but two, because we've got to go pick it up and do it again in Kansas City, Philly, for the very next one. So, look, there's nothing more that we can digest and dissect in this podcast. I think we've said all that we could. Philly, any last thoughts before we wrap it on up?
I'm tired of this crappy streak. I know y'all are tired, too. We know our players are tired. And Ryan Hollingshead said it best himself. Like, yeah, we don't want to make excuses, but this has been a grind. We're not used to this. Major League Soccer is not used to this. Teams are set up to be punished even when they win. And he was alluding, obviously, to a lot of things that we had discussed. It's refreshing to hear it come from the player's mouth. But what he did say, that good teams find themselves in these streaks and they find in these like, you know, crappy lulls, if you will. And then they find a way to build out of it quick. And I would agree with something you said during passing conversation that once we get back to our goal scoring ways, we open the floodgates. Saw at one point last season, in particular on that road trip scenario to Texas, We turn the season around. And so I don't believe the ship is on fire. I believe in what Steve said, that it'd be a mistake to start panicking right now. And no, it's not because I'm a corporate, what's it called? Shill. It's not because of that or any of that other jazz. Because again, I'm reminding you, I was the one who was cautious about the Steve signing. I wasn't thrilled, but Scarf said it. We're only 3 points from first. We're not that far removed from our MLS Cup. Their scenario was they put everything into the first third of the season. All the eggs were in the basket of Leon and winning the CONCACAF Champions League, and they failed. And Carlos and Ryan will be the first to tell you that that took a little bit of the confidence away, especially with how hard the team prepared. So we're starting to see that hangover. But these are professionals. They're going to turn around, and they're going to help get us get back to scoring ways. And again, folks, have your opinions. I love it. We all should be entitled to them. But give us a topic to talk about. Don't say Dolo out and end it there. Say Dolo out and I want this person in because of these reasons. Suitable and reasonable. Then we can have constructive dialogue. Other than that, you just sound like a dummy.
I like that. All I need to do is say, Philly, any last thoughts? And just wind him up. And here he goes. Especially at 1:23 in the morning, guys. I'm going to be honest. It is Thursday. My last day of teaching was Tuesday, and I'm pretty tired. I'm pretty tired. And I feel like for the first time in a bunch of episodes, you can kind of hear it on here. So hashtag blame Scarf for being too tired. I got to, you know, sleep a little bit at some point. Have my last set of parent-teacher conferences tomorrow, graduation on Friday. And then for the first time in 24 years, I am not running or working at a summer camp. So I get to take a little bit of time for myself this summer. Obviously, you know, got some plans and some things we want to do. But Philly and I mapped out our calendar for June and July. I think there are three days in June and July where we don't have things scheduled. So those will be the days I sleep.
Are you kidding? It's that bad?
We're not. I mean, it's close. I'm, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but Philly, you know, a little bit of hyperbole never hurt anybody. Either way, everybody, we got to wash our hands of this, wash our brains of this, wash our minds of this, and move on to the home of some fantastic barbecue. You may see a little pop-up video of Philly and I maybe on Friday night. We might have a little bit of fun at BMO Stadium on Friday. So we'll talk about that more. But you guys know how we like to end every single one of our episodes, including 258, where Mo Houston, Mo Problems. Yeah, that's about it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.